You're listening to the Stone Tapes on Siren 107.3 FM with Sam Stone and friends.
Welcome to the Stone Tapes.
Yay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, I'm feeling energised.
Hi. Now, who we've got in the studio today is George Mann.
Hello, hello.
David J. Howe.
Good evening, good evening.
Tessa Snart.
Hello.
Is doing a cameo visit today.
We have an intruder. Intruder in the studio alert.
We have, of course, our producer, Alex. And on the telephone, joining us all the way from Dallas, is it Dallas, Houston? I'm getting myself confused again. It's Patricia Edgeworth.
It's Austin.
It's Austin. So I turned completely off base. I keep moving your address, Patricia. How are you this week?
And I'm pretty good.
Good.
Fantastic.
Well, as you know, today is the superhero theme, but I think you're going to kick things off with your corner, aren't you? So what are you going to review for us this week?
Let's see. What I have read is The Secrets of Dreercliff Grange School, which I found in the horror section, actually, of a nice independent bookstore in Austin. Gosh, Austin is great for independent bookstores and that sort of thing. It's by Kim Newman, the same guy who wrote Anno Dracula. But it's not really horror. It's more about superheroes, or sort of it's an origin story.
So it very links in then. Yeah.
It's like volume one of the comics, if it were going to be comics. But it's not comics, it's a novel. And cause it's about kids, so it's, you know, origin story. So there's this girl, her name is Amy, and she's got sort of a levitation problem. So her mom sends her to a boarding school in the middle of nowhere for... She thinks it's kind of for problem children. It's really for children who are unusual in some way. And some of them have superpowers. Some of them are, you know, the children of bandits or grow up to be super spies or something really interesting like that. So a lot of really interesting people go to this school and go on to do really interesting things. So nobody at the school is completely normal. Amy fits right in. So she goes to the school, makes some great friends, and it looks like it's going to be relatively normal. She starts learning how to use her superpower, because it is a superpower. She just doesn't randomly levitate. She realizes she's got some telekinesis going on. She eventually learns that she can sort of get some flight out of this, really. So it's a really interesting thing to read this book and watch her grow. That's one of the best things about the book.
So is it from her point
of view? Fascinating book. Well, it's third person, But mainly her point of view.
Have you read any of Kim Newman's really... stuff before, Patricia? Because I haven't, you see, and I'm not sure.
No.
Does he ever write?
Oh, my goodness,
sort of...
I could not put this down.
Oh, it's good.
I could not put this down. So this just rocketed Anno Dracula to the top of my list.
Anno Dracula's great.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's really good. It's a whole series of them, like an alternative history of the whole 20th century.
Kim is actually an amazing writer. I'm not surprised to hear it's brilliant, because I think most of the stuff he's ever done has been brilliant. So that's really good to hear.
I must admit, I like the title, but I was immediately thinking of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yeah.
The premise
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, it did remind me a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But
is this a new book by Kim, or is it an old one? I'm just trying to...
I think it's relatively new.
Let's look at the copyright page. I would say pretty new.
No.
Yeah, copyright... 2017, yeah, just brand new.
Brand new.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, highly recommend. Quite a good bit of fun. And then once one of her friends gets kidnapped, and none of the adults believe her that her friend has been kidnapped, because the other person who witnessed the kidnapping is the girl that nobody believes ever, because she keeps making up stories. You know that sort of kid.
Yeah. She's a Matilda type.
Every class has one. Yeah. Every class has got one of those children that always is making up stories. So she's like, yeah, she was totally kidnapped. And everyone's like, yeah, sure she was kidnapped. So then it's up to Amy and her other best friends, one of whom has superpowers, one of whom grows up to be a super spy, because you get sort of a peek at the future. And gosh, that's interesting. To see where these guys end up, and you're like, I want the rest of the story. This book is not long enough. What happens next?
So is it the first part of a series?
I hope so. I really hope so.
But it's not obvious from the book. It's not got part one on it.
It's not obvious. No, it doesn't have part one on it, but I really hope it is the beginning of
a series. I'm sure it will be. I mean, from reading Kim's Anno Dracula stuff, it's... He likes building a web of characters and time, and so he'll do another book, and it won't necessarily say it's a sequel, but it'll have lots of connections to it.
Yes.
Sounds exciting. Sounds very exciting. I think I'm going to have to put that on my wish list.
So what would you give this out of 10?
Oh, 10 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
10
out of 10.
Quite a recommendation.
It's quite a recommendation.
It's great seeing these cute... And it's got the sort of theme for the superhero group. It's something I haven't seen before. Amy, in addition to her levitation thing, has a moth hobby. She likes to bug watch, like some people like to bird watch. She likes sketching moths, collecting, watching moths, not butterflies. They're very clear on this. It's moths, butterflies.
Okay.
So everybody has... Their code names and their costumes are all moth themed. It's really neat.
Okay.
Because they fit really, really well.
Hmm. If you collect butterflies, you're a lepidopterist. I wonder what the moth's version is. It's probably quickly to the Wikipedia.
Somebody quickly Google it.
They say in the book, but it's like 400 pages long.
Oh, okay.
I would not be
you'll be able to find it.
Now, it's interesting what you said there about that it's kind of like an origin story. So I want to kind of open this out a little bit. There seems to be an awful lot of superhero origin stories.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this last night, and I don't know if that's actually necessary, if that makes sense. I mean, what do you think, George? You've read the comics as well, I guess.
I read a lot of superhero comics.
A lot of comics.
Yeah. I think... What do I think about it? I think they overdo it in the movies, I think, which is where most people are exposed to superheroes these days. And, you know, there's a tendency, you get a Spider-Man film, they tell you Spider-Man's origin, he gets bitten by a radio, yada, yada. It's interesting that with the most recent one, which I think was the best Spider-Man film, and I'm sure we'll come back to it later, is they kind of deal with it in a throwaway sentence.
Yeah.
But how did you get your powers? Oh, I got bitten by a radioactive spider. Is it still alive?
Oh, good,
you know,
I like that.
Right,
yeah.
Move on. Yeah. And that's it, and they get on with telling their great story.
So in the comics, when Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and all of the greats basically sat down and started to do, you know, Spider-Man and... it wasn't Batman, because that was DC, wasn't it?
It was
different. But the guys that sort of first did these, did they all start with an origin.
Largely, yeah. I mean, I think... Yeah, I mean, again, to use Spider-Man example, you see Peter Parker getting bitten by the spider and the powers develop.
And that happens.
That's the interesting story at that point.
And does Batman start with his parents being killed in an alley and all this kind of
Not
stuff?
Not really, that's more
that's
of a...
slightly different,
that's slightly different yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't think he had.
He just is, isn't
it? They go back and explore it, and it is interesting how they do it. You know, he falls down into a cave... which is below the Wayne Manor, which turns into the Bat Cave eventually, and he's kind of surrounded by bats and terrified by them. Yeah. And obviously his parents are killed, and there's the Zorro thing.
But you
thing
find
to
that
it.
Out over time. It's but Fantastic Four, as I recall, starts with the origin.
Yeah, going up into space. And
space
Well, the comic origin, obviously, and there's different origins in some of the film versions and stuff, but that's cool. But they all seem to have this obsession with it telling, rather than just sort of saying, there he is, deal with it.
Yeah,
they all want to go back and explain it. It's very peculiar.
And periodically they'll keep returning to that as well. So, you know, 50 years later, they'll still feel the need every now and then to go, well, we need an accessible jumping on point for people. And those origin comics are 40, 50 years old. Yes. They don't really fit the modern reader, so we have to tell that origin story again. And then they change something.
Mm.
And then people start to get kind of... wound up about the continuity. How does it work? Is this the real version, or is that the real
with
version?
Every fandom, they get very wound up about continuity.
Absolutely,
it's very interesting though. I find that this sort of desire to want to know why, because I don't know if I'd rather just watch something where you didn't necessarily know and it just was.
I think that's the thing. Superheroes are so ubiquitous these days that people they know a masked Avenger probably has a past, a relationship that's gone wrong, you know, something that's caused them to put on this suit.
We seem to be calling
we
someone.
Do.
We'll be right back.
you were just saying, that is absolutely without doubt all of our favourite Superman theme by John Williams.
Classic.
Christopher Superman. Reeve as Superman, which are, you know, I think he still takes some beating even today. We've got joining us on the phone now. We've got Robin Pearce. We said goodbye to our lovely Patricia. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Now, not too bad.
You started something, okay? I want that as my intro music every
day. We might have to make that happen.
Are you in a phone box ripping your shirt off at the moment?
No, well, we've got...
It's a bit cold for that.
Well, we've got the view from Robin's castle of solitude.
Oh, Robin, let me let you know who's in the studio today, Robin. We've got the lovely Tessa Snart with us as well today, as well as George, as well as David and myself, and of course Alex.
Hi, guys. I'm the mysterious voice on the phone. I'm kind of like Charlie in Charlie's Angels. You never see me. I'm just on the phone.
You're going to give us a mission.
Yeah.
What's our mission this week,
then,
Robin?
What's our mission this week?
Well, your mission is to sit quietly and listen to me go on and on and on about how wonderful the Justice League movie is.
Okay, you've got 5 minutes.
Go ahead.
5 minutes. Wow. I've waited for this film since 1966, when, as a six-year-old...
Hang on, Tessa wasn't born in 1966. She's looking...
Well, you know. Neither was I.
To be honest, even you weren't born in 1966.
Oh, bless you. Bless you, Robbie. Anyway, sorry, go on.
And, you know, Batman was my first hero, Adam West, then I've learned about Superman, and then I realised that they all teamed up and fought, you know, various menaces like giant starfish. It's the Justice League of America. Even though at six, I didn't really know what a league would be. But anyway. So I've waited for this film, and I've waited with kind of growing despair because Marvel has just stolen the show time after time after time after time after time with every single film, never setting a foot wrong. You know, what would happen to my beloved Justice League? Because to me, they are comic book royalty. If the Avengers are anything, they're a dysfunctional family that are always bickering and changing their lineup. The Justice League, you know, they are gods.
Well, even Aquaman.
Well, Aquaman is cool.
Sorry.
We're going in Big Bang territory now.
We are, yeah, sorry.
I never used to like Aquaman, but Jason Momoa has sold me on the concept. It's odd, really, because I really can't stand Aquaman's Marvel counterpart, the Submariner, either.
No, he's naff, isn't he?
You know, Mr. Spock underwater, just go away. Anyway, so we built up to this film, but not as much as we built up to the Avengers. So, you know, the last thing I wanted to see was another Josh Trank Fantastic Four happening to Batman and Superman.
Alex is nodding.
Alex is nodding.
But you know what? It's awesome. It really is awesome. I mean, we know that Batman knows that there is a menace coming, and he's working with Wonder Woman. And we know that the Man of Steel's antics in that first movie, also called Man of Steel, you know, he brought Wonder Woman out of her 100-year recluse. He's really grated Bruce Wayne's cheese and wants to bring him in. And, well, actually, here's a little bit of trivia for you. When Clark Kent falls off that fishing boat and he's saved by whales, they're actually sent by Aquaman.
Uh-huh.
Ah, interesting.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so they're looking for more members to what is essentially a response team to this big menace. And the menace is Steppenwolf. Now, Steppenwolf is the nephew of Darkseid, which is a creation of artist Jack Kirby. There's a whole mythology here called the New Gods and the Fourth World. When he worked for Marvel, Kirby was actually going to write all this as an Asgardian thing because he was working on Thor. But he jumped ship and took his concept with him, tweaked it a bit, and it became the New Gods. Imagine gods with a hippie sensibility and high tech. That's why I never got into it, really. Anyway, so Darkseid, who is DC's version of Thanos from Marvel, this is his nephew, his uncle, I'm sorry, who has lost a war against the Olympians, the Atlanteans, the Amazonians, the humans, and the Green Lantern Corps. And he was defeated, and for his defeat, he was banished by Darkseid, leaving in the wake a series of mother boxes. I wanted to say money boxes, I don't know why. On Earth, well, one is in Themyscira, where Wonder Woman comes from, one is in the Atlanteans realm, and the other is in Star Labs by the humans. Now, this is the one thing that I wanted to ask, okay? Given the choice of the Olympians, the Green Lantern Corps, and the humans, why give it to the humans?
Yes.
Anyway, so the threat is there, the team is assembled, and the reason that Steppenwolf comes back for another round with us is because he has smelt fear among man since the death of Superman.
See, I thought Steppenwolf was a rock band.
Well, they were.
But, you know, I'm a bit confused now.
Jack Kirby was not
we will destroy you with our guitar riffs.
Jack Kirby was not born to be wild.
So, Robin.
Yes.
How does Justin Lee differ then from something like, for example, Suicide Squad, which is also a bunch of kind of superhero lunatics who all brought together?
Not really. The Suicide Squad was the superhero version of the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
They're not meant to succeed.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
The Justice League, I mean, they've got little devices in their heads which will kill them instantly if they go off mission. And they are the worst of the worst.
Yes.
So every mission is meant to be kind of a death sentence because they're not meant to succeed.
Hence,
and they're not
hence
meant
the
to come
name.
Back.
Mm. Yeah.
The Justice League are basically Earth's number one hope against any oncoming threat, which is from within or outside.
Mm.
As extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial, we have the... I mean, it's no secret by now that we do have some Kryptonian jiggery pokery going on here, and Superman is back.
Dear.
I mean, you would have known that anyway if you'd have gone in to Cineworld, like I did, bought a popcorn bucket, the Justice League one, and saw Superman's face on it.
Did it have a mustache, though? That's the question.
No, that was so well digitally removed. I mean, if I want to remove a mustache, I mean, I just use Philly Shave.
Yes.
No, I don't have to have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of CGI. I just shave it off.
Other razors are available.
Yes. So, Robin, what do you give this, then, out of 10?
9. Absolutely 9.
Really strong 9, then.
Because I was going to review Thor Ragnarok before I saw this, and that's another one that's a strong 9.
Mm. Two good films.
It's as strong a 9 as Wonder Woman was. I've just been spoiled this year.
And with that in mind, I think we're going to hear a bit of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big hang up. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find a Spider-Man.
I'm just going to go around now and ask everybody, what's your favourite superhero movie, book, comic book? Starting with you, George.
Ooh, I think, actually, probably the latest Spider-Man film. And it's similar to kind of what Robin was saying there. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a Spider-Man film that felt like a good Spider-Man. And this Spider-Man Homecoming really did it for me, so...
We're definitely going to have to see that.
I know it's not the best film, you know, I know that. You can see the flaws in it, but Spider-Man's done so well, it just nailed it for me.
Tessa?
I'm going to go very traditional. I actually really like The Incredible Hulk. I always used to watch it as a little girl. I'm not sure.
Now, which version was that then?
I think the original. Probably
the original series. Which was with...
I don't know the act.
Bill Bixby, of course, the magician.
Bill Bixby.
I used to just find it amazing.
And Lou Ferrigno.
I loved it. I used to love it.
You see, we must be of similar age because I used to watch that growing up as well.
There you go. Exactly. No, I would fully agree. I think you could pass for my age. I do.
So now
I'll slip you that tenner later.
I'm not an enormous superhero fan, to be honest. I mean, it's interesting. When I was a kid, I absolutely loved the Fantastic Four comics because I was getting them. I think Marvel started to release them in the UK in early 70s. Do you know, George, offhand? What date? Robbie?
I don't know. Earlier, I would have thought. 60s, yeah.
Was it late 60s? Early 70s? I thought it was 72, 73, something like that. They started to release UK versions of Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and stuff like that, and I bought them and I got the free gifts with the comics. I used to love them. But to be honest with you, sitting here today, not knowing much about this at all, probably my favourite is Deadpool, because that's the film that I have enjoyed more than any other of all of these superhero films, Marvel films, stuff that's come through. It's the one that we've watched many times. It always makes me smile. I think it's extraordinarily well put together, but we're going to talk about it later, so I'm not going to go into that now.
Well, I think it's because we like anti-heroes quite a lot, because I like that too.
I don't know. I'd never heard of Deadpool before. Yeah. I'd never heard of him before this film came out.
I know he does pop up in something else. I'm sure Robin will be able to tell us in a minute where that is.
Pop up, yes.
Robin.
Which is yours, Robin?
You have to ask, really? I'm a dyed-in-the-wool 100% Batman fan, be it movies, comics, TV series, or even the classic animated series from 1992. Batman does it for me every time.
And I absolutely love X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Do you?
I've always loved X-Men, their movies.
Oh, the movies, both.
Yeah, the movies. I mean, I don't read comic books, unfortunately, you know, not because I got anything against them. I just don't understand them.
Teen Titans.
Maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I love it. And I think I've always really liked Storm.
Yeah.
Because she flies.
She's quite cool, yeah.
Which brings us to another point. What would you, if you had a superhero skill, what would it be, Robin?
I'd go for Batman's ninja skills.
Oh.
Sounds good to me.
Every time.
David?
I think I probably like to be able to fly. I think that'd be quite cool. It would save a lot of money.
You
You get places quickly.
You would.
That'd be good. I'd like to be able to fly.
Tessa? Yeah.
I was going to say flying, but if I could, I'd love to be able to read minds.
Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
I'd love to be able to switch it on and off.
I was just going to say, because I think you go very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Alex is going to have to beat that one out.
I think you would.
You go full Harley.
Stir crazy, yeah. But yes, if I could, I think I'd like to. It would solve a lot of problems, but probably cause other problems, but yes.
Dating would be difficult.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, or easy.
Or easy, yeah. No, not for me. Yeah. What about you, George?
Sounds really mundane, but I'd love to be able to go without any sleep, ever.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'd get more done.
Oh. Yeah, that's a reflection of your life at the moment,
isn't it? I suppose there's a bit of that, but actually there's so many films and TV and books that I'd love to absorb, and I never have chance, and I never will get chance to watch. So actually, if I had an extra few hours in the day, every day, I could put that time aside and
be
watch.
Cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So it's a bit mundane.
We've not seen that superpower, have we?
No, maybe I should write that.
Boy who does not sleep.
Yeah.
Because
that's got to have its own problems as well, because sleep's a curative, isn't it? I mean, me personally, I absolutely love to fly.
Yes.
But I really like immortality. Isn't that the ultimate? You can't be killed.
Oh, wouldn't that be boring, though?
No. Oh, no.
Not for a few hundred years, at least, Robin.
Plenty of things I could do to fill that.
Yeah.
Just like Georgia, I have lots of books I could read.
You know, would die, and, you know, there'd only be you left.
That wouldn't be nice, though, if people around you couldn't give them a little bit of that power. But
you'd get very...
Vampirism's good for that.
You'd
be petulant and take the immortality back and kill them off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Take the blue pill or the red pill.
That's a point.
How interesting.
What about you, Alex?
Green Lantern's power ring.
He liked Green Lantern's power ring.
Good choice.
this is one of the best films I've ever seen.
Absolutely, just bang, 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 all the way through.
You know, all I want to do now is watch that.
Spoiler, the show which reviews movies, books and TV shows in their entirety. Twists, endings and all.
I don't think it's a bad ending at all, no.
Without fear of spoilers.
Thank you, just happy it ended.
Each show is dedicated to just one subject, so we can delve deeper behind the screen or the page.
It might be the geekiest book ever written.
This producer who's made up new lies.
That was also a joke. How can I get out of this sentence?
Join me, Paul Tyler, with Andy Goulding.
Sorry, I've got quite angry about that.
And Rachel Burnett.
I love the jiggly bottoms of the lady.
Alternate Thursdays at 10 p.m. Repeated on Saturdays at 11 p.m. It's fun for all the family, right?
Siren 107.3 FM.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, and you're listening to Sam Stone and Friends with the Stone Tapes on Siren FM.
And in this month, George, what have you got for us this month?
We have a marvellously diverse mix of facts for you today. So, we're talking obviously about November, and we'll start off with going right back to 1916, for two facts, actually. Oh. The first of which is 101 years ago, on the 4th of November, the birth of Ruth Handler, the American businesswoman who co-founded the Mattel toy company, happened, and she is the creator of the Barbie doll. So,
wow.
And Barbie's gone on to great things.
It has indeed, yeah.
So Barbie's creator was born 101
years ago.
Wow. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And also 101 years ago...
Oh, another one. Yes.
A couple of weeks later was the death of Saki, who's the pen name for Hector Hugh Monroe, who's Burmese-born British writer of short stories who satirised Edwardian culture.
Now, I think Saki wrote The Monkey's Paw.
Is that right?
I think that was Saki.
Does that sound right?
I don't know,
I'm
to be honest.
I'm pretty sure it was. I think that's the famous one that Saki wrote. So, and that's 101 years ago. He died.
He died 101
died
years ago,
101
so his
ago.
Body of work is obviously well before that as well.
Wow.
Because Monkey's Paw wasn't a satire.
It was a horror story, a little horror
story.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Okay. You hit me with a fact I didn't know.
There you go.
No, it says by W.W. Jacobs, American Literature.
Oh,
so you might be a little confused there, David.
Anyway.
Thank goodness for Google.
It's a very nice drink as well, Saki. Anyway, go on.
Jumping forward in time to 1936, 81 years ago,
yep.
The BBC television service was launched in the UK.
Good Lord!
Imagine it,
81 years since TV started.
Good Lord! And Bruce Forsyth presents.
It's funny with TV, I know it's been around a long time, but 81 years seems wow.
It seems a long time, doesn't it? Longer than you'd imagine.
You almost feel it's not that, it couldn't be that long, but it's amazing.
I miss all the presenters with the posh voices.
Yes, I do too.
10 years later, 71 years ago, in 1946, the first biro ballpoint pens went on sale in the UK.
Wow. So, we've been writing with biros for 70 years.
I wonder if anyone's still got one that hasn't run out yet.
Wow.
Yes, that's fascinating, isn't it?
Okay.
41 years ago, 26th of November 1976, the Sex Pistols' first single, Anarchy, in the UK was released.
Good
41 years ago.
Gosh, we feel
still getting played a lot these days as well.
Yes,
that is amazing, isn't it?
I know. Going to jump forward another few years to 26 years ago in 1991 was the death of Irwin Allen, known as the Master of Disaster.
Yes, yes.
Obviously Academy Award winning, famous for Lost in Space, The Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, lots of classics.
Oh, wow.
So, and indeed we've got the music.
We have indeed. We're listening to
some of these shows.
And the final fact, which makes me feel very, very old, 21 years ago...
Yes.
November 1996, the first Tamagotchi were released.
21 years
ago. In Japan.
I had a Tamagotchi.
Oh my gosh.
I remember it.
21 years ago.
Yeah. I can't even imagine that because I think I probably got that the first time round.
21.
But it might not have been me that got it. I think it was I got one for Lindsay.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Did you look after it?
I did, yes. I actually got my nan to look after it sometimes in the day when I was at school to keep it alive because they would just die.
I think mine kept dying and I gave up.
Yeah.
I had one.
They was hard
I thought
work.
It was silly,
Yeah, it was. I think I must have given up in the end.
I know I had an egg and it hatched into a baby one and I don't think my baby one ever got any further. They usually die.
To keep resetting it.
I did find mine in a drawer a few years ago. It was just sitting there.
Is it still working?
No, of course. I think I tried. I tried to reset it, and it wouldn't.
I think they still make them, you know.
I think they do. Yeah, I do. Oh. Yeah.
Yo, get it twisted. This rap is mine. Mother's not a game. What you heard is what you hearing. What you hearing? What you hearing? Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. X gon' give it to ya. What? Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's real. Hit the non-stop pop up. I'm stainless steel. Go hard getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make a mother wonder if you get it. Damn right, and I do it again. Cause yeah. I am right, so I got to win. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break who you send to me. Yeah. You motherfuckers never wanted nothing but your life saved. On a light day, I'm getting down, down. Like it said, freeze. So won't be the one ending up on his knees. Please, if the only thing you can't steal was came out to play, stay out my way, mother. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. Gave nothing to me. But every time I turn around, cats got their hands out, wanting something from it. I ain't got it, so you can't get it. Let's leave it at that, cause I ain't with it. Hit it with full strength. I'm a jail, so I face the world like a girl in the bullpen. You against me, me against you. Whatever, whenever you gon' do, I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. Only that you know, we can chill. Come back and get the streets open. I've been doing this for 19 years. Wanna fight me? Fight these tears. I put in work and it's all for the kids. But these cats done forgot what work is. They don't know who we be looking. They don't know who they see. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fall. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fall. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya.
After a bit of DMX, David's film of the month.
Well, we had to go into the film of the month this month with the wonderful DMX and one of my favourite tracks. And I was so pleased they picked it up for Deadpool.
Yay!
Which is a film that came out last year, 2016. If you haven't seen it, haven't heard of it, where have you been? It was probably one of the greatest films to be released last year. It's a superhero film. It's based on a Marvel character. It says here it's the 8th installment of the X-Men film series, which is quite extraordinary. Directed by Tim Miller, from a screenplay by Rhett Reiss and Paul Wernick, who, as the film says at the beginning in the opening titles, are the heroes here, which is absolutely the case.
We all agree with that here.
Although
the majority of us being writers.
Although I would individually, and I would hope that if you've all seen Deadpool.
Yes.
You've seen Deadpool, Robin.
Yep.
If you've seen Deadpool, I would individually single out Ryan Reynolds for every single Oscar award going.
Oh, he's fabulous,
for his performance. It is extraordinary. He plays this character who is very sympathetic. He's a kind of like a fixer, I suppose, at the beginning. He kind of helps people out, goes and beats people up, fixes...
Well, threatens. Not threatens, necessarily fixes, beats up.
Stuff like that. But he kind of crosses the wrong people and ends up in the middle of this kind of X-Men kind of mutant creation facility for some reason, not sure why, where they kind of deprive him of oxygen and inject him with all this stuff to try and turn him, he thinks, into a superhero, but they think into some kind of robotic weapon that they can use. They're trying to weaponize him. So he has the reaction. He becomes this sort of invulnerable superhero where bullets, nothing can stop him. He regrows, he regenerates. He's fantastic. But he's wisecracking all the way through the film. It is so funny. It's not a kid's film.
It can be very irreverent.
It's very irreverent, but it's very funny. It's very well worked out. I thought the cinematography is awesome. As I say, the film actually starts with... you must have seen them in these films where they do this bullet time, where it's like there's a great big action scene, but it's frozen. But it's frozen in 3D.
Yeah.
And the camera kind of moves through the 3D, past bullets,
it's
through
really
cars,
cool, that.
Past
really
kind of boots on people's faces, yes. And Deadpool's giving a guy a wedgie with his underpants and he's flipping a bird with his finger. And it just goes through this, and then you get the film credits, which are all ludicrously irreverent as well, yeah. With nothing serious happening. I think it's an absolutely fabulous, fabulous film. It's got in-jokes in it throughout to the X-Men. There's a lovely scene where he goes to like the X-Men mansion, the Father Xavier's mansion thing from the X-Men. And there's the two X-people there, whose names I can't remember. Big metallic guy.
Colossus.
And a little metal girl who's called Negasonic.
Megasonic.
Teenage Warhead.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Just...
And he picks them up to come and help him. And on the way, he sort of says, "Do you know, I was a bit surprised there's no other X-Men in this house." Almost as if they couldn't afford them. It's fabulous.
It's very self-aware in a good way, isn't it?
Deadpool as a character is known for breaking the fourth wall. He's a character who knows he's a comic book hero in a comic book.
Right.
And that's what they've carried through to the film. So he knows he's in a film. It's why occasionally he turns and there's an aside to the audience.
Yes.
Is a reference to does that in the comic as well.
There is one scene in the film as well, I think, where he actually says, "Oh, this is a fourth wall breaking of the fourth wall."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. What do you think, Robin?
I loved it for that reason. It broke down that fourth wall, but did it comically.
Yes.
Even to the sting where they're talking about the sequel, which is now in the works.
Yes.
And I loved that line. With, you know, it's almost as if he couldn't afford the rest of the X-Men.
Yes.
You know, making little masks for himself of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yes, that's right.
That's brilliant. That's right. And then when they said we're taking you to Professor Xavier, and he says, what is it?
Stuart or...
Stuart or something. I can never keep up these days.
Or McAvoy.
McAvoy, that was it.
McAvoy or Stuart, that's it. To be honest, what I really love about this mostly is the story. I think the story, aside from all that, which is wonderful, is it's a lovely story. It is a romance story.
And I must mention Moena Baccarin, who plays the love interest.
She's amazing.
She is incredible.
She really is, yeah.
It's like a hooker, kind of a heart of gold kind of thing.
She's
in the
not
film.
Really a hooker, but she comes.
Well,
she works in a.
She's sassy.
She's sassy, and she works in one of those kind of clubs, shall we say. What do you think, Tessa? You've seen the film as well.
I've seen it as well, and I really enjoyed it. It had me on edge, actually, a lot of the time. Like, it is one of those films where you are on your edge, on the edge of your seat constantly, especially when he's, like, getting injected.
Oh, yes.
That bit, honestly, it was intense, and I couldn't take my eyes off the screen either. I think it's a brilliant film.
It truly is a brilliant film. I mean, never mind part of a franchise, part of the seventh X-Men film, on its own, I think it's a brilliant film. It stands alone.
Have you seen the Wolverine film where he plays Deadpool in it?
I don't think so.
It's dreadful. I mean, it's
I've seen the Wolverine film. I'm sure I have.
There's just three Wolverine films. Yeah, there's Wolverine Origins and Wolverine the Wolverine. And then there's Logan.
When it's part of Alpha Flight or something, isn't it?
I might have only seen the first one.
We may not have seen Logan.
And it's... So, because it's originally... Deadpool, you mentioned the weapons program. It's the same weapons program that creates
Wolverine.
That's right.
And they got Ryan Reynolds to play Deadpool in it, but they don't do any of the stuff that they do in this film with the humour.
It's an incredible film. And what astonished me as well is, again, Wikipedia is your friend. Development started in 2004.
Wow.
And it didn't come out till 2016. That's like 12 years.
Because they leaked the test footage, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, so what happened is, because Ryan Reynolds had been wanting to do it for ages.
Yeah.
And the studio weren't greenlighting it. And then they made this dreadful Wolverine film with Deadpool in it, which was making it look like it was never going to happen. So they leaked a bit of test footage onto the internet of, like, a car crash with Wolverine, with Deadpool in it, and the humour and the fourth wall breaking. And there was such an upsurge of, interest and a brilliant fan reaction that they ended up greenlighting the movie on the back
Fantastic.
Of it.
That's
amazing.
Fantastic.
And probably as a, final note on this, is the final note I've got down here, which stood out for me, is just how amazing this film was. The budget of the film was apparently $58 million. $58 million.
Doesn't sound a lot.
But it cost them $58 million to make, and it has so far taken a worldwide total of $783 million.
My goodness!
Wow.
And still counting. Wow. So from $58 million to $783 million is quite a return on your investment. It's absolutely extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. So, yeah, Deadpool, for me, it's probably a 10 out of 10. Absolutely brilliant film.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
I'd probably give it a 10 as well, actually.
Yeah. I'd be the same, definitely.
Yeah, definitely 10 out of 10
Robin?
For me. And before we go...
Not better than the Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
So, we've got some stuff that we've got coming up that we want to have just a little quick chat about.
Yeah, we just want to mention that...
Because we are superheroes too.
Sort of. David and I have been involved in a Doctor Who spin-off project, which started... Amazingly, how these things start a long time ago. This was in 2010 we wrote the screenplay, the drama, for a spin-off of The Daemons, which is called The White Witch of Devil's End.
Yes.
And it stars Damaris Hayman, who was the White Witch in the original
Doctor Who episode called The Daemons with John Pertwee. So there's a wonderful, wonderful box set out called The Daemons of Devil's End, which contains the White Witch drama. And we've produced a lovely little novelisation of said drama. And we've been going around touring the country.
We have, and we're actually going to be in Lincoln on the 7th of December. At Waterstones High Street, 5:30 till 6:30, so narrow time to come and see us. So hopefully a few people will pop in and say hello. Yes.
In Lincoln.
Yeah.
So,
see the book. Yeah.
So we're very pleased with it. It's had good reviews. Not quite as good as Deadpool.
No, but it's had some very good reviews.
We haven't quite made $783 million.
Same ratio.
It would be nice.
Maybe with your help we can get there. Somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
That's been fabulous.
Yeah. And a big thank you to Alex Levchuk, our producer, to George Mann, Tessa Snart, David J. Howe, Patricia H. Ash, Robin Pierce. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.